The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. We love a simulator. Golf simulator. That's pretty much it.
Jet airplane.
You've done flight simulated before?
Yeah, they had one in Istanbul, which was in an airport.
They have
a
NASCAR racing simulator that you can do
cool
at the Hall of Fame in Charlotte, I believe.
Isn't one of the most famous F1 drivers from literally that? Like, he became a professional because he was really good at doing it in a simulator?
No idea. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is there a documentary I could watch on Netflix about that? I'd watch that over some of the other things that are out there on Netflix, the documentary options, but I digress. ESPN simulated the rest of the season and the playoffs in the NFL. And the Packers guys, well, they finished with a 12-5 record. They end up the sixth seed, according to the simulator. They travel to Tampa Bay and lose to Baker Mayfield and company in the wild card round. Not exactly the ending that I was hoping for this feature film. Again, it is just a simulator. The simulator is not always right. But how many times, Josh, how many times do they run the simulator? Is it one of those like 2,000 simulations?
I believe it was less. I believe it says in there. And the important thing is they used basically what's happened this point for the rest of the season, but then they added randomness to the playoffs just because the playoffs are different than obviously the regular season. So there is a factor of randomness to just the outcomes of some of these games.
Who would they have played if they beat Tampa Bay? Detroit or Philly?
I have to pull up the projected scores.
They have Detroit I believe Detroit gets the first round, seed.
Yeah, Detroit would get the number one seed at 15-2. They have the Eagles at 13-4. The Packers would then go to the number one seed.
That'd be chalked up to a look past game to the next week, right?
Maybe. I mean, the Buccaneers are literally just this flip of the coin team. What Baker Mayfield shows up. If the Baker Mayfield he's showed up a bunch of times, the one that had the perfect QB rating at Lambeau Field last year, that one shows up, you could be in trouble. But you could also get the one that throws three interceptions and looks terrible.
Yeah.
Like, he is just such a wild card. Mm-hmm. And if you get the one that throws three interceptions, you're moving on to Detroit. If you get the one that is going to be throwing five touchdowns and looking great, it's going to be a dogfight.
Well, then that comes down to the defense. That comes down to what we have talked about so much with this Packers defense in the pass rush, getting pressure on a quarterback, making him uncomfortable, and forcing him to not be able to do just that. Move the chains, move the ball down the field. Like, is there a chance that the way that this defense has evolved, Jeff Hafley, getting some of those guys, we obviously talked about the impact that Cooper had on the field this past weekend. Is there a scene where you see them having their best game of the season and being able to stymie that?
I'm just hoping our defensive players get their mouth guard in on time so they're not giving up touchdown runs. Eric Stokes.
Okay, well,
is that what happened?
Unnecessary.
Yeah. What do you mean it was unnecessary? It was true. It's what happened. Dude didn't put in his mouth guard, and then as a replay's coming at him, like, oh crap, got to put my mouth guard in, and then gets blown up in an easy touchdown.
It did occur to me that I sort of Gottlieb my way through that.
I never played with a mouth guard. How crazy is that? Looking back, that was kind of dumb.
As a tight end, that's insane. As a tight end in the era in which you played.
Yeah.
I got hit one time, all your teeth.
And I was literally spitting out chunks of my tongue.
Gross.
I bit it down so hard, and I'm like, what did I have, peanuts?
What is that skirt
and
steak?
It was chunks of my tongue. And the tongue bleeds. Yeah.
How did you get the tongue to stop to bleed?
You don't.
You suck it.
That's on me. Yeah, I apologize. You should have known better.
You said it too quick. That was the problem. Your mouth was in front of your brain, which happens, which does happen.
Even to you deep thinkers, huh, Chu?
Yeah.
If the Packers did lose to the Buccaneers, how would you chalk up the season? Disappointment?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Even as a sixth seed?
Yes. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Which would mean they have them losing to Minnesota
Correct.
In 2 weeks. So, disappointing, but explainable. Okay, first-year defensive coordinator going from a 3-4 to a 4-3. That takes some adjusting. And we kind of knew, well, we thought, is it Joe Barry or the players? Turned out maybe to be a little bit of a mix. And there's still things to do to this roster, right?
Oh, yeah.
What would you focus on?
I tell you, looking back, I think I really want a number one receiver. And I don't know. I don't think they have it on the roster.
That feels
I don't.
Luxury, not utilitarian.
Correct.
But they have cash. They have money. They will have money next year.
Wouldn't you rather have them spend money on a pass rush or a cornerback?
But the problem is, typically, a number one corner is not going to be hitting the market. A top-end pass rusher. Yeah, maybe you can improve it a little bit, but that top-end guy that you're looking for, you're going to have to take a gamble on someone the way that they did when they initially signed Zadarius back in 2019, and he became a top-end pass rusher.
Oh, like somebody in the draft, like, I don't know, a Cooper DeGene? Would that be something?
Well, so that's the other thing. That's the other thing. You need help at cornerback. Like, mm-hmm. These are things where you need, like, the number one receiver. While I agree with you, Chewy, I would love to have a number one wide receiver. I don't know where you're finding that in the market, and the best you can do is maybe a T. Higgins if he hits there, but you're looking at, there's so many things you have to do to the periphery of this defense before you start worrying about the offense, because everybody that's here is still going to be here next year.
And you, Jair?
I'm talking about the offensive side. Offensive weapons, they're all going to be there, so you just kind of leave that side alone. Of course, you're going to want a backfield. You'll probably draft a wide receiver, because I doubt you bring back both Watson and Dobbs the year after, so you're going to have to start backfilling that position. But you got to focus more on starters over on the defensive side.
Yeah, they're going to have, offensively.
Because to Jen's point, you don't know if Jair's going to be there, Stokes ain't going to be there. You're going to need bodies, period, at that cornerback position.
I agree, but you got to start making decisions on offensive skill positions too as well.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with Watson? What are you going to do with Dobbs? It'll be Tucker Kraft's third year, right? You might want to sign him early, and he's going to get paid. So you have some decisions to make on the offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball.
It's more urgent.
You may need some new bodies.
Yeah, it's more urgent on the defensive side.
Yeah.
Going back to what you had said, Gabe, in the simulator, and again, this conversation is all based on the simulator that ESPN ran, where the Packers are the sixth seed, which means they lose to the Minnesota Vikings, according to the simulator. 24-16, the final score there, which is interesting, guys, because when you click over to the preview of that matchup, the Packers are predicted to win that game 54% to 45 in some change sense. So it's interesting that the simulator has the Vikings winning when right now the matchup predictor on ESPN.com has the Packers winning that game. Matt LaFleur, you guys just mentioned Christian Watson. I think Joshy was efforting. He had talked about Christian Watson recently, gushing about the production of Christian Watson, the evolution of Christian Watson. Let's take a listen to that.
He's made a lot of great plays. That catch he made on the sideline, that was big time. He also drew a pass interference call. That was a 40-yard penalty that doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but that was a big time play. So, and not to mention, he's blocking his butt off as well. So he's doing, in every phase of the game, he's been A+.
I'm sure we'll take a look at this at All 22 tomorrow, big guy, but you weren't here on Monday when I said, I think that catch along the sideline LaFleur just mentioned, I think that was the best catch of his career.
That's a great catch.
And maybe
and a great throw.
Is solidifying his future in Green Bay, guys. Too early?
I don't see him as a 7-catch guy week in and week out. I don't see him as a 1. I see him as a good 2. I just don't ever see him catching 110 balls. Yeah, I just don't.
I don't think he's going to be paid that way, though.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get him for 14, sure. Yeah, great. He's not a 20-something guy.
Get him for Alan Lazard money?
You agree with me there? He's not a 20-something million-dollar guy a year.
No.
Not right now.
Over his past 5 games, Watson is averaging a staggering 29.8 yards per catch, putting up 387 yards on 13 catches. Chew, that's a pretty decent little...
Yeah, it is, but how many games do you have there?
Over the last 5.
I mean, 13 and catches?
Well, that includes a game with zero.
Right, but also Josh Jacobs.
I'm just saying, I don't see him as a solid number one who is catching seven games. Seven catches, four, nine. I just don't think he's a good enough route runner to do that. But he definitely has value and he has a role.
So this is interesting to me because as the Packers offense evolves, man, I've been saying that word a lot lately. It's almost like the Pee Wee Herman word of the day. As it evolves and we see Josh Jacobs getting more touches, even some catches in this offense, you're going to have guys who are okay with those smaller numbers. Like, we've talked about Matt LaFleur's success as head coach of the Packers, and I have talked about the ability to keep all of those wide receivers when Jaden Reed had the 0-for-0 day, and everybody was like, what's going on with Jaden Reed? Is he falling out of favor? Is there a problem here? And he was like, nah, it just wasn't my day. Somebody else got the ball. Two, if you go out and get a number one wide receiver, the other thing that comes along with that is the expectation that that number one wide receiver is getting number one wide receiver targets. And I don't know if they want to run this offense that way.
But you know what gets better? With a number one receiver?
Play running action? Game?
Your third down conversion.
Yes, we had talked about that yesterday.
Your third down conversion gets better with
as you have a guy who can separate, because you could argue that on third down, you know you're going to Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams was very, very good at that, but you know you have to be good at that.
Yeah.
Well, but that's, I mean, you think of the number one wide receivers in the league, they're all the ones that have all the stats at the top of the, you go to NFL.com, you take a look at the stat leaders. Those guys, even though everybody knows, everybody knows you got to cover Devontae Adams. He had 9 catches for 200 yards for the Jets this last week. How does he continue to get that open? Because he's that good.
Yeah.
That's what number one wide receivers do. Even though everybody knows the ball's coming to you, you still get yours. Same thing with Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson has unbelievable numbers. People are trying to come up with game plans to stop him. They just can't.
Yeah. And I don't want a $35 million guy. Because if something happens and that guy gets hurt, that's a big number to swallow. But certainly someone in the 20s would be nice. And there's guys out there.
Wasn't there a time, remind me guys, my brain is like sifting through. Wasn't there a time where we thought, could the Packers get Mike Evans? Wasn't that a thing?
Yeah.
That a time? Would have been nice.
Yeah.
Be sick.
I'm not going to.
Guy like that?
Root for something like that to happen. It can't happen now, but back.
Yeah, I was about to say. I don't think they're letting.
There
him go
was
now.
A window where it was like, oh, Mike Evans, he could be a guy that would be huge in this Packers offense.
T. Higgins is going to be a 30, right?
He's going to get a lot of money on the open market.
Yeah,
I think you got what you got. I think they'll continue to supplement in the draft.
Yeah, you got a backfield, but it's not like they're going to spend their first or second round pick on a wide receiver.
Right, more pressing needs. For the offense. 800-990-3776. We started this conversation with the ESPN simulator, and in the simulator, the Packers lose to the Buccaneers in the wild card round. And I think that would be a grave disappointment. That would be a big disappointment if the Packers went into the playoffs and were not able to beat the Buccaneers.
Of the options right now, the division leaders, assuming the Packers are the 5 or the 6, Tampa Bay is the place I'd want to go versus
over the Rams. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, because those two receivers can take over a game.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly take over a game.
Yeah.
And what they beat them by earlier in the year without both of them.
5.
5 points? Yeah, I don't want to go to the Rams.
But that was also without Toyota-thon Jordan Love.
Still have no idea what the hell you're talking about. That's why me and Adam are deep thinkers. Well,
how's any different from normal?
I was going to say, you haven't made much of an effort to figure it out either. You know, it's kind of like you just keep throwing it out into the ether that you don't know, expecting one of us to sort of fill in those gaps, huh? Football season is back. I'm excited to be back on campus with Celsius Energy Drink. That's campus, by the way. I'm excited to be back on campus with Celsius Energy Drink. It fuels my active lifestyle with its game day energy. Travis Hunter, Jalen Milroe, Dylan Gabriel, just a few of the guys who also use Celsius Energy Drink to get through the day. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius by your side. It is Celsius. Live fit.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm telling you, don't doubt his story, because he heebie-jeebies at certain times to miss field goals.
Yeah.
Gabe, I showed you how he does the heebie-jeebies.
Heebie-jeebie.
You take your fingers and you rub them back and forth on your thigh and you go heebie-jeebie, heebie-jeebie. Swear the guy bats 100%. So to call him a liar and he puts a curse on you?
Look, stupid. I'm not calling him a liar.
Yeah, you are.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Oh, make me over. I'm all I wanna be. A walking study in demonology. Hey, so glad you could make it. Yeah, now you're really made it. Hey, so glad you could make it now. Oh, look at my.
Well, we did the best we could to wait it out, gang.
You can't make this
Maybe
stuff up.
Maybe you wanted to hear... Oh! There it is, yes. So there is a fire alarm going off in our building right now.
Told it's just a test, so don't worry for us.
Asking us to evacuate the building. There's the beep, beep, beep. Try to let you listen to a little longer music for this in bump, but here we are.
You mean they can't do it at 4 in the morning? I mean, you can't make it up.
I think this would be better served when we're not in the middle of a programming.
Yeah, How about we hear from Aaron Rodgers, who went on a lengthy complimentary diatribe about Jordan Love on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. Take a listen.
The perfect thing is it's not working.
Perfect.
Fire alarm took that out too.
I love this. This is great.
You would.
You got to handle adversity, right?
We had too many fumbles.
What are you doing to handle adversity?
Kind of loose with the football. So I'd clean that up. And obviously, most of my career, I've been good about limiting my interceptions. You know, I think just watch him because we had some common opponents. He went through some stretches where he wasn't feeling great body wise. You know, he had the ridiculous injury in the first week, I believe it was, right, against Philly.
Yep.
And then he had some other groin. Was it a groin?
Yeah, groin against Jacksonville. Yep.
Yeah. So you know him, like me, and like me when I was younger. You know, we are able to do things moving not just in the pocket but out of the pocket, extended plays, and he's so good at that. And taking out that ability and then messing with your legs a little bit. You can see some of those, you know, balls just not end up exactly where it wants it. And I know what that feels like. But overall, I think he's had another really, really, really solid season. I love watching him play. Just, you know, he's accurate with the football. He's making good decisions.
Good stuff there from Aaron Rodgers.
Even better stuff from the voiceover guy here telling us that the fire's in the building.
Once we've determined for the 18th time that it's working, what are we doing?
Yeah, because it's only a test.
Right.
Like, how much longer do you think it... How long should a test last? 30 seconds?
I think go home.
That's not what they're telling you, Chew.
Well, technically, they are saying evacuate the building. Yeah. Evacuate the building to Chewy means go home.
Yeah, but Chewy will interpret anything to mean go home, yeah, really. Yeah, like, yeah. I could mention E.T. and he'd be like, go home? Okay.
That's a little too on the nose. It's really close.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Try to get back to some normalcy right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What's the one thing you say almost weekly here on the show?
Less eat.
Try again.
I don't know.
What's the one thing you've got?
Big boobs.
You've got time.
Oh, time.
You've got time.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
We got there.
I needed a few more hints.
What? Yeah. We put you in a... That's Dave's fault.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Season for celebrating at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Join them this holiday season for special events that'll get you in the festive mood, from a spectacular brunch with Santa to the holiday marketplace and one-of-a-kind dinner and a show experiences. St. Kate has a celebration happening nearly every week through the holiday season. And guys, remember, if you're still looking for a gift for your loved one, you can always go to St. Kate and plan an extravagant night out. Go out to dinner, grab some drinks, make a stay of it. They've got special packages now available to celebrate the holidays with St. Kate. Learn more by visiting stkatearts.com/holidays. That's stkatearts.com/holidays. I did put together a list. If you want to watch a Netflix documentary, here are some good ones. The Greatest Night in Pop, Drive to Survive, Sprint, Bob Ross Happy Accidents, Starting Five, which was produced, by the way, by the producer who I did the Jump Around piece with.
Okay.
Susan Antzman is at Netflix now. Her and I did the Jump Around piece for Game Day 2 years ago. She produced Starting Five. So if you're interested, Starting Five. Athlete A was very good. Untold Manti Te'o was very good. Daughters, Whitney, about Whitney Houston. Bill Russell, Legend, fantastic. Quarterback, Life After Death. And Cocaine Cowboy. There is a list of about a dozen documentaries on Netflix that you could watch should you be interested in watching a documentary on Netflix. Joshy, that is not the one that you watched yesterday, though, is it?
No. After telling everybody I wasn't going to end up watching Aaron Rodgers' version of Enigma here, it was on when I got home from walking the dog. And I figured, I don't think any of the three on this program are going to watch this. It's already on. I might as well sit here and take it in a little bit.
Thank you for your service.
Can I ask you a question?
Thank you. Yes.
I mean, that was annoying as ever. The fire alarm.
Yes.
Why is nails on a chalkboard so debilitating? Just thinking about it makes me... Why is that? Why?
It is the way it makes you feel.
Is it the nails or is it the sound?
I think it's the nails. I think when you hear it, you're remembering the feel.
I got the jeeks now just from saying it.
And I'll give you another one. Why does biting down on tinfoil hurt?
Well, it's metal.
Why are you biting down on tinfoil? Did it get wrapped in with your...
I'm doing.
With your food?
Yeah. I don't peel it off. Figure we need a little iron in the diet.
You go to a burrito place and you didn't put the foil down all the way?
I actually think that's very dangerous, Chew.
But why does it hurt your teeth? Why does it hurt so bad?
Because it's metal.
I'll put something metal in my mouth right now. Doesn't hurt.
That's plastic.
I know.
The key's on the inside. Yeah, it's fine.
Half the listeners can't see that, though.
But anyone watching on YouTube got a real treat.
Why, Josh?
Probably the fact that it gives way, but it also like wraps around your tooth a little bit. I don't know. I thought we were talking about Enigma. Why am I talking about?
We are talking.
These
about,
are
we're
enigmas.
Talking about. We're, no, we're
these
talking about a different. Enigmas. We're talking about a different enigma.
I see. You heard the word enigma and thought things that are really
that's
puzzling
deep.
To
it's
me.
Deep.
Yes.
Adam would have got it.
To go back to the documentary, which I hesitate even calling a documentary, because these programs that are put out that are now more synonymous than ever, where the subject is part of the production and the final product you see, you only get a very one-sided approach, and it's really not that deep into the character. It is the representation they want everyone else to
see
them
as. But here's the problem. When you talk about said person, I dismiss you, whatever you say. Is that fair?
You're talking about Roger specifically, too.
Yes. I can't because you hate the guy.
Right, but I'm not even here to say I hated this. It was substanceless. If you followed Aaron Rodgers' career, you know every story. You know how he views the draft, which was a major portion of it. He does get a little bit into his family, but... How much can I trust what he's saying about his family, even though it's vagaries and he kind of keeps it on the edges?
So what you're saying is this is more about the state of documentaries now where you need the subject's approval to do it. And more often than not only is it their approval, but they get final say in final edit. Michael Jordan, of course, with The Last Dance, which we all love during COVID, right? I sat on my couch and watched episode after episode after episode. And then, of course, it was like, well... Jordan had final say in what made the cut and what they didn't include. And that's why some of the players who lived that experience, Gabe, took issue with the storylines and the narratives that he seems to be putting out there.
Yeah, it was very one-sided. It was from Jordan's perspective, even though you had all the other interviews that you had done when you give final say to that athlete. it's not the way it happened. Take that story out from Isaiah Thomas or Scottie Pippen or whoever.
Right.
And, you know, then Jordan gets featured and tells lies about how he somehow got food poisoning before one of the games of the NBA Finals. And what was that, just becomes lore.
What was the deal with Brady's roast? Because he clearly didn't control everything, because he didn't want anything said about Kraft,
yep.
And they took shots at him.
Well, again, because now you're inviting comics who's...
It's live.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Yell at me? They don't care.
The don't say is the say, then. Once you get told, don't say. But, like, there, throughout his own words are the most damaging thing here, which has become Aaron Rodgers' own issue. I want you to listen to this clip from this and just... Think about what this means and how it sounds, removed from anything else.
I put so much into this, and I care about it so much. And to have it just taken away in an instant, four plays into a season, it's been pretty jarring mentally. I haven't experienced that much grief in my life, probably.
You play football. Who cares? Stop acting like, you know, I mean, am I right? In the end, you're playing football. He sounds like he's trying to cure cancer or something like that.
Right. So to bring you into his character, the greatest grief this person has ever sustained in their life, it's not the death of a loved one. It's not the separation from your family, the dissolution of some of the relationships in your life. It is the injury you sustained at 40 years old with all the accolades
playing
you could ever want.
Playing a violent sport, playing a physical sport where injury is always, there's always a risk
of
injury.
It is the narcissist plate there. Yes, I was affected. Really only me, but here is the greatest grief I could ever sustain.
And you know what? Like, what a luxury.
Yeah.
Aaron, to never have felt the grief of losing somebody so significant and so important in your life that you don't know what that's like. You know, like that, like we talk about like getting older guys sometimes, and it's like, what a blessing to get older. What a blessing to be around for that many years. There's a part of me that feels sorry for Aaron Rodgers in that regard. The greatest grief you've ever experienced in your life was when you tore your bleeping Achilles.
Here's my problem with quarterbacks across the board.
Okay.
And I'm going back, not to today, because you can't compare today's game to when I played or before when I played, okay? You don't practice, barely. You don't get hit. You wear a red jersey, okay? Now, like Jordan Love, sometimes you're throwing the ball 18 times a game, right? Linemen, guys, they're banging on every play. I probably had half of my concussions in practice because we went live, right? I don't want to hear your crap, okay? Because there are positions on the field that are much more dangerous than yours. I'm not protected. I was never protected. You could hit me in the knee. You could hit me in the head. You could hit me anywhere. I played in a game where my eyes crossed and I couldn't uncross them, which was funny. Which was kind of funny at the time, but I had to bang my head to uncross my eyes.
Did you think it was funny, or did everybody else around you just think it was funny?
Both. Both. Okay. BB snoring in the end zone.
Yeah.
Knocked out. Thought it was funny. You know, thought it was funny. So don't give me, I don't want to hear your crap about how hard it is for you, because it's not for quarterbacks. Okay, it isn't. Look at O linemen and D linemen. Every play, in the head, in the head, in the head, in the head. You know,
just, you're talking about from a physical standpoint. Because the last thing I want to do is ignore, obviously, all of the mental acumen that it requires to be.
But they're all such
narcissists.
They're like, oh, I'm such a savior. You know, like, shut up with your red jersey.
One of my biggest takeaways was, Aaron Rodgers tries to point to all these things throughout his life that have caused him issue or made him into who he is. And the main thing is he views everybody as lesser than him and views them with contempt. Everybody else slighted him. He had no factor played in anything, be it his relationship with his family, be it the relationship with Brett Favre, be it him sliding in the draft. These are all things that personally affected him that he had no control over in his mind. And that was, there was a seething anger and a proving you wrong still, despite being 40 years old, as accomplished as he is, and like getting everything he wants. You know, they're showing him in his mansion constantly.
Yeah, I know. It's
like, what? What is so bad?
And private jets, right? On some of the clips we've seen, right? He's flying on private jets. He has the luxury of being able to go overseas and do ayahuasca over and over and over
and
over again.
Four trips.
Be a six-round pick where you sit there and you stress like, oh, God, here comes the Turk. I'm getting caught. Bye. Looks like Peyton Bridges tomorrow. You know? He brings it on himself, though.
Peyton Bridges was the new Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning? You're saying Peyton? Peyton.
Peyton.
I got a question for Josh.
Yes.
How did this just magically end up on your television?
Mussolini flipped it on.
Was she doing this as a punishment? Because I got to imagine she's familiar with your stance on this individual.
Yes.
And why would Mussolini bring it upon herself to watch said series? We'll call it a series on Netflix.
She was full on hate watching. She is not an Aaron Rodgers fan. She views him as a narcissist. And you just like, there's nothing here I can tell people to watch. There's no interesting nuggets. There's no view behind the curtains. He is who he is at all times.
And so what I'm taking away from this is, the only reason he did it, maybe there was a money grab, maybe they paid him a boatload of money, which is oftentimes part of it, but it feels like it feeds his ego. It feels like it's his ability to tell everybody all the things that he's been through that explain why he is the way he is, why he is jaded against the media, why he keeps people at arm's length, why he cuts people out of his circle. What I don't like is how he keeps going back to the vaccination thing. Keeps telling everybody that the reason, you know, he needs to know what people's vaccination status is in order to know whether or not they have credibility. Man, some of us have been disliking you well before 2020. You know, I interacted with that guy in the locker room. I was like, bad seed. And I mean, it got, again, at the beginning, fine. But it just got progressively worse every year. The bigger he got, the more success he had, the tougher he was to be around. And that predates any sort of jab I might have taken.
He also alludes to that as the problem within the family, that he was told he was getting like too big and too famous, which I have a feeling is really what caused the dissolution of that familial relationship. But he points to like his upbringing and the religion and falling out of the religion and all those things. But he does. There is interesting parts where he sneaks in nuggets where you think maybe that's the real truth, but you're framing it in your classic Aaron Rodgers way. Like everything he wants to say, he said, and it's all about taking back his own narrative. And he even cites Jason Wilde and that show being the reason why he wanted to take back his own narrative. And it's like, yeah, in a sense, but like you've also taken the opportunity to talk at every given opportunity. Like you've been on every podcast we could ever imagine.
Right. Part of the reason why The Last Dance was so successful is because Michael Jordan isn't out there doing regular interviews telling his side of the story. There was something that was protected. It was kind of kept behind closed doors. So when you do finally open those doors, there's an insatiable curiosity. Oh my goodness, I want to know. Rodgers, you talk every week.
Yes.
We know. We heard. 800-990-3776. DJ in the saw weighing and saying that Aaron Rodgers documentary was an epic puff piece. The frustrating thing is it was advertised as legitimate critique of him and his career. Instead, the entire series was basically an excuse for why he is the way he is and why he doesn't care what people think. Well, that's the biggest loophole.
Well, he does.
He cares more than anybody.
He's going to realize in about 7 years, no one gives a crap. I mean, I'm sorry. No one gives a crap. They don't, you know?
What's also interesting is this was supposed to be his redemption arc.
Yes.
And obviously the Achilles injury happened, so it reframed it. So there is no building of character. There is no likable part. There is clips of him like telling the people he's working with, like, no, I'm coming back earlier. I'm going to play. And it's like, well, we know that didn't happen. So what does this serve in the other than you being an egomaniac? And there's a lot of, wow, you're healing better than anyone I've ever seen before.
I love that you bring that up, and I want to wrap this up very quickly. But one of the things that my girlfriend said to me was, if he comes back this year and he has an MVP-level season, and he leads the Jets to the playoff for the first time in decades or whatever, is it 14 seasons?
Yeah, I think
like
it's
that,
14.
Then I'm interested. Uh-huh. I want to see what you did. I want to see how all of these drastic measures contributed to you getting healthy and being able to go out there and defy the odds. But since that didn't happen, I have no use.
Right. Netflix has to be so mad.
I always say this, and I am identified. But if I believe that I'm identified by 9 years of my life and that's it, I'm a loser. I'm sorry. I hope to live a handful more. 9 out of, let's say, 88. And that's my identity. Then you suck.
You know, what I hope for you two is that your identity is that of a deep thinker.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping.
I'm trending. I'm trending. Remember, that is the saying of the week. That's trending.
You have woven deep thinker into many conversations. You're sort of relying on Pavlov's
yes.
dog.
Yes.
If you will.
The
more
say
you
that.
Say deep thinker, the more people think you're a deep thinker.
Just like Aaron Rodgers when he says he doesn't care. If he says it enough, somebody ought to believe him eventually.
And you know what deep thinkers do?
Yeah,
they go to Summerfest and see Def Leppard.
Yeah.
I've been there. Def Leppard at Summerfest blew my mind away. They
and
were
the
so
real
good.
Def Leppard, right?
Yes.
Your wife can trick you into some cover band.
Yes, and they're coming to Milwaukee next summer, and tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. Buy them at summerfest.com or Ticketmaster outlets. Thursday, June 19th, I'll be there, is the date. Def Leppard with Tesla, another great band. I won't sing. At the American Family Insurance Amphitheater. Enjoy a great night of hearing all the Def Leppard classics. Caller, what do you want to do, Josh? Caller what?
Let's go 6.
Caller 6 wins 2 tickets right now. Call 800-990-ESPN. 800-990-3776. You could be going to Def Leppard at Summerfest on June 19th.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What operating system does a Chewy computer run on?
I believe it's a Cat 14.
It's a COS. It's a Chewy operating system.
I was thinking Windows 98.
Yeah, very similar.
It's dial-up. Let me get my modem.
Chewy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go. Fellas, listen up. We all know some of the best holiday gifts you can give are jewelry, especially from the Jewelry Center. I called Dino yesterday. He hooked me up for the wife. Gold necklaces naturally mined or lab-grown diamonds for earrings and, of course, engagement rings. When I want to give a memorable gift, of course, I visit my friends at the Jewelry Center and take advantage of their deals. And right now, they've got a deal even Santa can't even beat.
Santa.
You can win a $2,000 shopping spree to the Jewelry Center just by registering online. That's right. $2,000 can be yours. Register now through December 23rd at ESPNWisconsinContest.com for that $2,000 baby shopping spree at the Jewelry Center.
Buddy.
Buddy the elf? What did I do?
What's your favorite color?
What's your wife's Christmas present?
She's getting a ring.
Okay.
That I designed specifically with my guy,
so
the dancing machine.
You didn't give it away during the read, which Gabe and I both thought you had. You just gave it away now.
She's working.
But
you got ties.
I got what?
You get in trouble all the time.
Did you or did you not get
wife?
A box of emoji balls?
I did. That was good. I said touche. I'm not good at keeping secrets. You guys know that.
Yeah.
Am I right?
You shouldn't be telling secrets about wife. You know your wife has spies that listen to the show. You get ratted out constantly of things you say about her and then get in trouble at
but
home.
But to be fair, if someone tells your wife what you're getting her for Christmas, they're the bad guy, not you. Right.
Exactly. And I'll be getting the ring, I don't know, tomorrow or Friday. Here's the thing.
Keep saying it.
Here's the thing. I can't hold on till Wednesday because I'm like so excited. So she'll get it like Saturday. What's the big deal? You know?
We've already exchanged all of our gifts. There's
really?
Only one thing
yes.
that's still in the mail for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not me. I can say that much.
Well,
I could hold it on forever.
Well, again. Yeah, and when you have the nickname that you do for your significant other, I assume that most decisions aren't being run through
also,
you.
Wait, did he ever tell that story? Did you tell that story on the air or just to us?
Which one?
About somebody who recognized you.
Just by your voice?
No, recognized, yes. So a friend of Mussolini's, a person they don't see a whole lot. It's on occasion. It's kind of still very good friends. They've grown apart. This girl's husband did not know who I was, despite being a loyal listener to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And when he discovered that, he turned to her in the car and said, No way! You're Mussolini?
I'm sure she loved that. Knowing her, I'm sure she just absolutely... I bet that really touched her heart.
I've never even met this guy, this husband, so I'm looking forward to meeting it so we can say it together.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Is the Christmas card, holiday card tradition dying? 68% of people said, yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. How long after receiving a holiday card do you throw it in the garbage? Same week, 45% of people, 5% say never. She just got cards like stacked up. What are you, wallpapering your bathroom with my holiday cards? And we have somebody weighing in that I want to get to right before we wrap up the show. If you're defined by 9 years of your life, when you live 88 years, you suck. The wisest thing I've ever heard on this show. And it came from Chewy. That from Ronnie in the 262.
Hashtag
thanks, Ronnie.
Wilde and Tal should be doing some deep thinking of their own. That's next on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.